Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. In our last episode, a Curious City listener asked us why there's a cemetery at O'Hare Airport, wedged between two runways and a FedEx building. The reporter on that story, Andrew Merriweather, told us that that cemetery, which is called Rest Haven, survived an expansion project in O'Hare in the early 2000s. But another cemetery nearby did not survive. The occupants of that one were moved in 2012 at great expense to the city and over the objections of the families of those buried there. This somewhat eerie image of the city exhuming and repatriating bodies got us thinking about where our bodies go when we die, and whether a permanent, final resting place is something we can expect or, when you take the long view, mostly a pipe dream. So I asked my guest today, how should we be thinking about where to put the bodies of the deceased? Both in the now, but also many generations down the line.
Yeah, so this is a loaded question, right?
This is Samuel Perry. He's both a funeral director and a lecturer of mortuary sciences at Southern Illinois University.
Because depending on who that person is and where they're coming from, their perspective's going to change or be pretty different, right?
Sam is also in leadership at the Green Burial Council, or GBC, which advocates and sets standards for natural burial. We'll get into what that is in a minute, but first, I'll let Sam finish his thought. He says, when it comes to the idea of permanence in your final resting place, he personally likes to take a page from nature.
Even though my body isn't a permanent thing, it gives back and it breaks down. And through death, new life is created. Mm-hmm. And that brings me a lot of peace. But that's really uncomfortable for a lot of people, right? And so it seems reasonable that many people find comfort in a single grave that's permanent forever, that contains the body, that preserves the body, that keeps it as it is, as we knew it, right? Mm. We're kind of born on this idea of individualism. And so there's a bit of a clash in there when you kind of think about that. But that's not to generalize either. There's a whole diverse community of people in this world, and we all come at it from different angles. So those perspectives can be really difficult when you're thinking about things on a scale of like city planning and what's right for a community.
It might sound cliche, but it's a circle of life kind of thing. Like, the dead can be nourishment and make room for the living. There's a couple issues at play here when we're making these decisions. One is space. In the U.S., we still have a lot of it, but sometimes, as was the case in Chicago, you need a bigger airport, and a cemetery is just in the way. In other places like Europe, Sam says many cemeteries have run out of space, so they offer rentals instead. Your body might stay in its plot for, say, 75 years, and then it might get a roommate, so to speak. Sam got us thinking about this sort of conflict of needs in our society. Most of us feel that need to honor our dead. But how we choose to do that can affect the environment for the living. So let's break that down. A typical 10-acre cemetery contains caskets with nearly 1,000 tons of steel and enough wood to build more than 40 homes. And then there are the vaults. That's 20,000 tons of concrete. And there's enough embalming fluid to fill a backyard swimming pool. All of this is according to the 2008 book Grave Matters by Mark Harris. To minimize the environmental impact of all these substances and materials, SAM and the GBC recommend natural or green burial, which is a full body burial using only biodegradable materials.
Green burial is a bit of a modern terminology, right? For something that's really existed for all time. Jewish folks, Muslim folks, Baha'i folks, a majority of the world is burying in this way, right? Mm. Simple, honor, cleaning the body, dignity for the body, ritual around the body directly into the ground. So this is not green burial to them. This is just burial.
So how does it work? Sam says there's three prongs to natural burial. The first involves the body.
We are trying to avoid embalming. Those chemicals can actually be really harmful to the embalmer and potentially to the environment as well.
Instead of typical embalming practices, the GBC suggests other methods of preservation. So that means using formaldehyde-free embalming fluids, washing the body with natural soaps and oils, possibly refrigerating it, and dressing the body in biodegradable clothing, like cotton. The second prong of natural burial involves the container. Like, instead of an ornate casket, a simple pine box, or a wicker basket, or even linen shroud. And the final prong, the most relevant to this conversation, is the cemetery itself. There are three main types. The first is a hybrid.
We have hybrid cemeteries, which they practice both conventional burial and natural burial. So that might be, you know, separate sections in one cemetery that do both of these processes.
The second one is called a natural cemetery, where they only practice green burial.
They don't allow embalming, they don't allow vaults, and the body goes directly into the ground. They're also usually trying to go beyond and protect the environment. They're not using as much gasoline and machinery to care for that land.
And the third?
The third and sort of final and almost like best, you might say, is conservation burial. This land might look very much just like a place you go hiking, looks very natural. They're probably going to use native species to plant on the grave. So there's really a pretty grand range of what it would look like.
So where can you find a natural burial site around here? Well, if you look at their website for GBC certified cemeteries near Chicago, you're not going to find much.
If there's not a certified one in your area, I don't want that to discourage you, right? Because there's other ways to go about this too. Rural cemeteries often don't have rules that kind of get in the way of offering this.
Mm. Sam says there's kind of a chicken and egg thing going on here with both funeral homes and cemeteries.
Some of the obstacles we're finding is that people just don't even know it's an option, right? If you don't know it's an option, you're not going to ask for it. And on the other side of this, funeral homes are often saying, well, no one's asking me for this, so we're not providing it.
I asked Sam if natural burial was even practical in a big city like Chicago, and he had some interesting ideas.
I think if we can get to the point of combining these ideas of the recreation for the living and spaces for the dead as one space, that might be a solution for green burial being more accessible in an urban setting.
But he also hoped that conventional cemeteries might consider changing their rules to allow natural burials as well, essentially becoming hybrid cemeteries.
It's easier to create, right? That cemetery already exists. They have the space available to them already. It's just a matter of changing their rules.
Now, before you dial up your local funeral director, you might be wondering if there's a difference in cost here. Sam told me maybe, but not necessarily. It all depends on how minimalist or maximalist you want to be, which is also true for conventional burials. One of the cheapest burial options, though, is cremation. It's also the most common because it doesn't take up much space and it gives people time to consider when and how they're going to memorialize their loved ones. But Sam says cremation also has a negative impact on the environment.
It takes 3 hours at 1600 degrees minimum to cremate a human body. So to think about those resources alone going into it, gas, electricity, and then the emissions that are coming from that process.
Mm-hmm. Cremation may be the most popular, but 60% of Americans are interested in exploring green funeral options. That's according to a consumer survey from the National Funeral Directors Association. If you still have questions and concerns, however, you are not the only one. One thing people wonder a lot about is the legality of all this.
There's no law in the United States that explicitly says green burial is illegal. There are some very specific laws to very specific circumstances in specific states that sometimes limit this, right?
Okay.
But a lot of times that comes down to certain folks or entities' rules, not laws. And there's a big difference there. So,
okay.
You know, if it's just like a funeral home rule, you can go to a different funeral home and maybe they don't have that rule.
Also, natural burials are more shallow than your conventional burial. So people worry about odor or whether animals might dig up the graves. They worry about water contamination nearby.
For burial in a green cemetery, typically it's done 3 to 4 feet so that the body is positioned in a place where it's still going to be valuable to the environment, because in that more shallow, you know, space is where all that good microbacterial action is happening, which transforms the body into something valuable to the surrounding flora. 2 to 3 feet is typically the sort of smell barrier, the frost barrier for keeping animals out. So it's not a problem with these burials. You know, there's far more accessible food for those creatures than a body that's,
that's
3 feet down.
Yeah,
2 to 3 feet.
Yeah, 3 feet down.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as water goes and water contamination, I think the beautiful thing about nature is that it's got it all figured out in a lot of ways. The soil is like its own solar system. It is its own filtration system. It has all of the microorganisms that help filter and transform before, you know, anything reaches a waterway. Something else that comes with these various laws in various states is that there are requirements on how close a cemetery can be to a water source.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is science involved in that that's protecting us. So, and rules put in place, laws even put in place to help protect us against those problems.
And another concern that came up while we were researching natural burial was this hesitancy from folks when it comes to the spiritual and sacred part of death. Obviously, these decisions are incredibly personal. Some people don't like the idea of becoming nourishment for plants or insects. They might consider conventional burial a more dignified process. I asked Sam, as an educator and as a funeral director, how he walks that line.
Yeah, I think very transparent conversations have to be had, right? I provide the options, the education as a funeral director, but then I have to sit back and listen, right? More than half of my job is just listening and getting people what they want and deserve from this. So even though, you know, I might want a green burial with no embalming and, you know, directly in the ground, that might not fit, you know, everyone exactly where they are. So it's a really nuanced and can be really difficult thing.
I think I just want to hear a little bit of you just talking about why this way of doing things is important for you personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a nature boy. I'm a country boy. I love the environment and I learn a lot from nature. I find a lot of peace from nature. I get a framework for understanding the world by looking and observing nature. And this type of funeral, this type of burial, this type of disposition, sort of solidifies that for me, right? I can literally use my body to give back to this thing I've learned so much from, that I've connected so much to. Like, nature deserves me. Take me, you know? So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Such a beautiful way to think about it, and it's very spiritual.
It is. It can be, right? It can be. Yeah, I definitely think it is. So, because some people will hear me say that and be like, okay, weirdo. And that's okay. You know, again, not everyone believes in the same thing, and we got to find what fits us.
Sam Perry is in leadership at the Green Burial Council and a lecturer of mortuary science at Southern Illinois University. He's also a funeral director. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Erin. I really appreciate the opportunity.
This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Mary Hall is our digital producer. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org, or you can visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.